Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions the card game. I'm your host, Scott, and with me as always, my co-host, Ryan.
And we are here to discuss the long-awaited review of Age of Apocalypse.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. After our disaster of not getting it on opening day, unfortunately, we've finally been able to complete the campaign, and we are ready to give some of our thoughts.
Yeah. Talk about what we liked. Maybe some pain points. Some of the high points. I don't know. We'll just have to see what evolves.
All right. The biggest thing that most people want to know is, where does this rank?
Oh, well, dang, you're just like jumping right into it.
Well, I was going to say, you stay tuned because we're going to talk about it at the end.
I think the big thing is like, you know, you got to preface this with slight spoiler warnings. You know, if you haven't played the campaign, you know, we'll talk about things. And this is in like an overview of the campaign. It's not to get into any specific villains per se or heroes. It's more of the campaign aspect of the box and not the like components in the box, you know.
Correct. It's not a
we're
just kind of, we might touch on some of the villains because obviously that they're greatly involved with the campaign, but we're not gonna go super in depth yet.
Yeah, those will be coming, so just you know, hit that follow or subscribe or whatever buttons you push these days and you'll be notified.
I know. Maybe. Some of those YouTube channels, they have like that whole phrase locked down, like subscribe this and hit the notification button or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't have those memorized.
No. I'm not cool yet. Somebody's listening.
Yes. Someone's other listening. I was going to say the same thing. Other than our mom. Unfortunately, I don't think our mom listens to this.
No.
We do have a brother that listens to it.
She was like, I want to listen to your podcast. And I'm like, you're welcome to listen to it, but you're going to have no idea what we're talking about.
I know. My wife likes listening to it. If I'm listening to it, she'll listen to it just to like laugh.
Laugh because she's not with us.
Exactly. Because she's just like, it's just so funny. No one knows what you're talking about. It's like, everyone knows what we're talking about. There are people out there that love this game.
That one person in Malaysia understands us.
That's true. Hey, shout out to our listeners in Malaysia.
That's right.
That's pretty cool. It really is pretty cool that we have people all around the world.
Right, all around the world.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Speaking of all around the world, Ryan.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the world of the Age of Apocalypse.
That's right. Now, leading up to this, this was probably the one I was most excited for. I love the Age of Apocalypse storyline, and I love Apocalypse as a villain. He's one of my favorite of the X-Men, along with like Mr. Sinister. So I was stoked leading into this one.
Yeah, there's big shoes to fill, or like expectations of Apocalypse.
Oh yeah.
Do you think the Age of Apocalypse is up there? What do you think?
I don't want to give too early spoilers, but as far as campaign, I'm a little bit of a mixed bag, to be honest.
Okay, I'll pause you right there. Did you enjoy the campaign? Dang.
I don't know how to answer that. Ultimately, I enjoyed playing the game. I was not disappointed, as in, this is just a terrible experience. It was not like that. I think there was just some major things within the campaign that just kind of took me out of the experience.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like the heroes were good. The villains. The villains were good. They were different. They played well. You got to see a variety of game interactions.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like this was the best campaign structure that we've seen.
Yes, I think that is the biggest hang up for me. Now, I feel like I should preference. I do feel the experience of a campaign varies from when we have played it straight through on one of our all day sit downs, do the whole campaign versus breaking it up scenario by scenario. I really do feel a difference that campaigns are so much better if you can do them all at once.
Yeah, at least in a one or two session where you're playing multiple scenarios per sitting rather than...
Yes.
It's like one, you put it up, hopefully it's a week later, you come back and it's the next one, and then rinse, repeat, and you're multiple weeks into finishing the campaign from start to finish.
Yes, yes. I do think some of the magic of the campaign gets lost when you break it up like between each villain versus like doing two or three and then having another sit down and doing the remainder.
Yeah, I can see that. You kind of stay a little more like, I was going to say emotionally invested, but you kind of stay like more in that gaming zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And more, you know, you put a little more into it. You're more invested that way.
Yeah. Which, not to get too far off topic, but I do feel that kind of gives more strength in the campaign format of Mojo versus our typical campaign of three versus five villains. Sometimes it feels like five villains is almost too much for a campaign. And that three was a lot better. But at the same time, I like having five. I like getting five new villains to go through.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I like the quantity of content you get with the five villains. You get five new scenarios plus all their modulars. So,
yeah, I feel like it's a tough balance and you're never going to please everyone. So I think overall, sticking with that five, you're getting the most bang for your buck. And that's what we really want. If we're going to pay all this money, we want to get a lot of game out of it. And I think having those five villains is great.
I would agree. All right. So I think the consensus is the villains were where they needed to be, right? Fun to play. In depth coming out later.
Yeah,
those weren't the miss. Let's see.
When it comes to the, like, difficulty level, I did not feel like any of the villains were like mega easy or any that were like impossible hard. So I think they all kind of fit in a good, at least campaign wise, in a good spot.
Yeah, I would agree. I think with campaigns you can sometimes get benefits or rewards that can make the heroes ramp really fast early, but I felt like this one, some of the rewards you get or can get were beneficial, but they weren't like super game changing to where it made it too easy, or they weren't good enough to where the campaign setup for the villains made them too hard. I felt like it was a good balance, like you said. There was no one villain that I felt like, ooh, that was a breeze. And there wasn't any that... There were some that, like, we had moments of pressure. And we're like, ooh, this is going to be a tight one. But nothing that was like, okay, round two and we're dead. It wasn't Ronin.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think campaign-wise, if, you know, speaking of Ronin, the campaign makes him a lot harder.
Yes.
And I think this is, you know, I don't know if you're ready to move into the side missions.
All right. I mean, we got to rip that bandit off eventually.
Yeah. But I think side missions are the way that the campaign, you get your main rewards and also your main bad consequences if you don't do it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, looking at it, it's really the only way to get your rewards, because, you know, with some of the campaigns, you can choose to kind of ignore stuff or not go as hard towards something, but this one kind of forces you,
mm-hmm.
especially towards the end of the campaign, to deal with those missions, whereas I don't feel like there was as much of choice in this one.
It does. It kind of strong arms you into doing this campaign model versus other ones where you have a little bit of choice. You end up making the choice because you want the rewards, but this one, if you don't want to, it really can hurt you later on.
Right. If you're one of those, like, I want to focus on, you know, the main reason I'm here, then you kind of, you get penalized for that. Now, let me ask Ryan, what was it about the missions that, I guess, weren't your favorite? Was it the structure of them, how you had to kind of follow the sequencing of them? Was there anything specific like that?
I think there's a lot of things that doesn't really draw me towards the missions. I liked the idea. Like, when I heard about the missions, I was kind of like, oh, this could be interesting, you know, side missions and, you know, doing some stuff, you know, while you're also fighting the villain and stuff. So I was very interested in how it was going to work. But as we played them throughout each scenario, it felt more and more like it was really not part of the game. Like, it was just drawing things away that just didn't feel like you were contributing much to the game. And so okay. I think the best example that we saw is we played the Four Horsemen, and we focus so much on the horsemen because they hit you hard right up front. And
yeah, they're a lot more difficult at the early game for the heroes.
Yeah, so we were so focused on maintaining that the mission really wasn't a priority, and it really just sat there for a long time until at a certain point they were like, well, we should probably do the mission before we beat them. And so we literally paused our game so we could focus on the mission to complete it. And when that happened, it just felt like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? Yeah, that was the one for me. There was some of the other scenarios playing with them. It kind of felt like a big hurdle that you had to kind of get over first before you could really, like, come back to focus on the scenario, the villain and all that stuff. Cause like, that was the one I felt like the one you're referencing with the Four Horsemen. It's like, man, we could have been done like two turns ago, but now we're having to sit here and go through a couple extra villain phases to try and, you know, hopefully luck out to get the right card to get just enough to defeat this guy and defeat the side scheme to, like, maybe get something. You know, we don't really go in and look at all those rewards before we, you know, try and defeat whatever the mission was. So we didn't know what we were going to be getting. And it made me, like, question, like, is it even worth it? You know, we could have been done.
Yeah, it's a lot of time and resources that's drawn away from the actual game of fighting the villain. And you're getting, you know, at the moment you're getting a very small reward, and then at the end the reward is kind of good in some and not so good in others. But there's always a bad thing if you don't do it. So you kind of, yeah, see, that's, kind of feel like you have to do it.
Like, thematically, like, I like it. It makes sense. You know, you're a team. It's the X-Men. Some of your team you send off over here to a mission. But I just don't feel like it equated well for Marvel Champions. Like, when you actually got to the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah, it felt like it was more of a distraction. And compared to other campaigns where the campaign is more integrated within the scenarios, where it's not just a complete separate thing. It's you're still fighting the villain and doing these things, but here the mission, it's a totally separate thing. And I think one of the, you know, the things to add to that is we had to go search for allies that we wanted to put in our deck specifically for missions.
Right.
And it added allies that I didn't really want. It just made my deck bigger than I really wanted. Just for the purpose of the missions.
The other thing was, is, you know, it could have been some of the ways we played it. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but I don't want to spend all my cards or deck build for putting cards in a set aside area that I'm not going to see any immediate benefit from. I mean, I guess hypothetically you could just stack your deck with a bunch of cards that are going to boost, you know, allies over there and hopefully get it done in one or two turns, one or two activations, attempts, whatever they're called. And I felt like we figured out the balance pretty quick of like how many allies do we really need over there? Can we just kind of like ignore it for a turn or two? And then it's like, okay, let's make an attempt. Okay, we got at least past 50% of what we need, so we should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe it could have been I know they play test these, so I know they probably tried different versions of it, but I feel like it could have been streamlined a little bit better within the main mechanisms of the game rather than a complete separate. You have to learn a whole new game, essentially, to play these missions.
I did want to ask you, so campaign. There was a campaign modular set, the Age of Apocalypse, and it had a lot of interaction with the side missions. What did you think about that encounter set and its interaction with the missions?
I didn't mind it. They came up several times. And caused us to have to make some difficult decisions. But overall, they were more of an annoyance than anything. And because they're so focused on the mission, that's what kind of made them more annoying. Because like, now we had to spend more time doing these missions that we're not enthusiastic about.
You're like, I would just rather me, the hero, take the one damage than damage that ally I finally got over there, one damage.
Yeah.
And then the one that like stuck out to me is we got it. We'd already made our first attempt and we're like, okay, we are set up to hopefully get this done in two. And then we get one of those encounter cards and it's like, I think it was a boost and it's like, you can do this or that. And we chose to do one and it was like, put three threat on the side mission scheme.
Yeah, it's and the treachery. We made the
attempt and we had gotten everything completed except for three scheme is what we had
like, spend a whole nother turn to do.
You should have just taken the other option.
But
I guess that's part of the game, and you know it did make it kind of funny in the moment, so I guess it did its job ultimately.
Yeah, I do kind of want to circle with the rewards. We did all the missions, so I can't really attest to the not defeated aspects of the missions. But the rewards for each of them, I'll just say the one I liked the most and the one I did not like. So the one I liked was, where is it defeated? It's the upgrade one.
I think that's the support. It's the evacuate the survivors is your upgrade one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you evacuate those survivors,
yeah,
you get an upgrade.
Yeah. So I did like that aspect of grabbing an upgrade from another aspect, because then it creates some unique deck building opportunities. And I guess you can kind of also do that with the other one, that's the support. The support didn't work out as well for me, but the upgrade was pretty decent.
Okay, but I'll agree with you. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say I just liked the options of the creativity of whoever you are playing as to customize them even better.
So that was gonna be like one of my like high points. So in that aspect, and it makes sense because the designer from this box did the first X-Men box, and it had a little bit of similarities. You got to go kind of play with aspects a little bit. But that was one thing I did like, is the rewards did give me opportunities to play a very unique deck and like really see some cool benefits from them. Where if you're playing a true standard game, you're not going to have those abilities unless you just straight up cheat and the FFG police, you know, come and SWAT your house.
That's right. And they will.
This gave you the opportunity to like be like, oh, if I had that one card in that one aspect, it would be so good for this character, but I want to run the character in this aspect because I've made this whole plan. And I felt like my deck did that really well, because I was just able to just, once I got it like set up, it was just like madness. And it was madness for me because, you know, I played Magic. I don't play a lot of ally heavy builds, and somebody's like, you played Magic with a bunch of allies. Like, that didn't make sense. I don't know. It just did. I think X-Men is a very good ally trait. So I had a lot of fun with X-Men allies, and I thought it was pretty effective, and I wouldn't have been able to do it as effective if I didn't have some of those cross aspect rewards that it gives you. So I did like that. That was a one shining piece of the campaign.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the one that I would like to see more done to it is the Desperate Measures upgrade that you can get for allies. It just I did use it. So I mean, I can't say it was useless, but it just wasn't as strong as I was hoping.
Yeah.
I think honestly, if it was just zero cost, it would have been so much better.
Okay, I can see that.
But I mean, I see its purpose because it's kind of like leans into the missions. Like, here, this card's really good for missions because it strengthens the ally and gives them the wild resource to help with missions. But if I'm not excited to do the missions, then I'm not excited about that card as much.
And I think the other thing that played into that for us is we got it like on the fourth mission, so we didn't even get to use it until the last mission.
Correct, yeah.
So it was like, this card's pretty much worthless for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Though at that time, we kind of had our flow down.
Yeah, and like I said, I did use it, so it did come in handy, but it's just, it wasn't my favorite. But oh well.
Oh well.
I think that's my say on missions.
Hot take, Ryan. Missions not what we were expecting. How does that? Does that sound fine?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but ultimately, I think there's good things about it, but I think it distracts too much from the core game. It's not integrated enough for me.
Conceptually, I like the idea, and like I said, thematically, I like the idea. I just don't think it hit. I just, as a campaign, I just don't feel like it helped me go from point A to point B with what campaigns are, for me, what they usually do for me. Yeah. To help me kind of flow through the scenarios. I just don't think it was totally there.
Yeah, I mean, and we didn't talk about the minions that go along with the missions. I think they were just kind of, if I wasn't enjoying going to the mission, they didn't really help that whole process. So it was just kind of like, oh, this one does this, this one does this.
Yeah, because you weren't like really battling them. It was a very one-sided battle.
Yes, it was very one-sided.
So, and I mean, if you take away the text boxes, they're all pretty much the same. Just but the picture changed and roughly the same thing, but in a different way. So
yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's sad. It just didn't hit well for me.
Yeah.
I definitely think there are out of the three X-Men boxes, I think this is the weakest campaign.
Okay. I think that's a fair summary. But, you know, to say all that, I don't think the box is bad by any means.
Yes. Let us be clear. I'm not saying the villains are bad or the heroes are bad. We're specifically meaning the campaign. Really, the focus on missions. It just didn't hit as well as I would hope.
Yep. All right. I wanted to ask you about, I know with campaigns and boxes, you know, everything's one tight concealed package. They share a lot of encounter sets. What did you think about some of those encounter set crossovers that you have to use during the campaign? But, you know, if you're playing a normal one-off scenario, you can totally mix and match scenarios, which is one of the great things about the game. But what did you think about those for this box?
Yeah, there was several, the suggested modular that you can always change out. But the one that came up, I think, the most was Dystopian Nightmare. And that one just was kind of like, hey, we're going to kick you in the shins and then run away. Okay, and thanks.
I know there's six cards. There's two copies of each card. But I swear I got like war weary like three times somehow.
Yes.
It just felt that way. I was just like, oh my gosh, why do I keep getting this card?
And like when you really think about it, it's not like a bad card. You're stunned. Okay, we've seen that before. I mean, it's not uncommon. But for some reason, it just felt like we kept getting it.
Yes.
I was like, it's gosh. Like,
they put like two copies of the whole modular set in my box or something. Yeah.
And it's for War Weary, it's the same effect on the boost or treachery. So either way, you're getting hit by that stun.
Yeah.
The hunted, the encounter card, it's easy to get rid of, but it's just kind of like, great, here we go.
Yeah, we had a game where we both got it. It was like both active for like one round. They're like, what the heck?
Yeah. And then, let's see, targeted for extermination. It was just kind of like, okay, I guess we have to get rid of this.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad encounter set. But no, it was one no. that definitely came up a lot, and it was like, oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, I would agree. The other one I think crosses multiple encounters was the Infinite, and I wanted to get your take on dealing with Gene Pool outside of Eunice. Like, it was real tough for me to be like, do I really need to care about Gene Pool? Because it's not as big of a deal outside of Eunice.
Yes. So it definitely, its importance goes down when it's not with Eunice, but it definitely, I mean, if you didn't worry about it,
right.
Could be bad.
Because I guess you could quick strike and surge off of one infinite soldier. That would be bad.
Yeah, as a justice player, I do see it as an opportunity to manipulate with some of the cards. That's like clear the area where I can remove all the threat and draw a card. And it's always there, so I always have that opportunity.
Right, or and if you're you like, have a, sure, just put the one on there and I can take care of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you can manipulate it in some ways in that way, but... I think the Infinite encounter set is a pretty solid one that you could throw into any encounter set, and I don't think it makes it over difficult, but I do think it just adds a little bit of flair to maybe a scenario you're generally not excited about, like maybe an Absorbing Man. That could be interesting.
Right. It has zero minions. I think the other thing with that one too is it still was going to dissuade you from chump blocking as much, because that's where the gene pool really hits you in your allies, just taking a beating, because that's when you start to see that ramp of threat being placed on there.
So here's a question for you. How would the interaction be with gene pool and collector one with allies specifically?
Well, I mean, if they die, they go to the collection. If they die from anything other than consequential, they'll add threat to the gene pool and then go to the collection. Is that what you're asking?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's like double whammy.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, huh, that could be an interesting scenario, because that'd be really bad.
The gene pool doesn't do anything with the actual physical card. It doesn't make it go anywhere. It just says if the ally is defeated by anything other than consequential, then you place the three threat there.
Correct. So, I'm not sure if there's really any of the other ones that are multiple times. Counter sets. Though, I mean, we'll probably talk about it more with maybe some of the villains, but there's some interesting counter sets on this one.
Yeah, I wanted to look real quick to see, like, that one. You know, the other thing with that is how some of the villains play. Like, I don't think we got to see the full gambit of some of these.
Like Hounds?
Yeah, Hounds, we got a few out, but I don't think their setup worked as well. Because, like, having released the Hounds out is the big one on that one. Like, it makes them worse, but I think we may have had that out very late game. Let's see, what else? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't remember really playing the Dark Riders.
Yeah, they came up a little bit here and there, but I'm with you. Like, they didn't, I don't remember them hitting, like, teamwork very much.
Yep.
The other ones were the environments, the Dark Beast counter sets, because you're really just getting about two of those. So, you know, there was one that we never actually played for during the campaign. So
during the campaign, yeah.
Right. One I did like for the campaign is the Kalanakaba.
Yeah.
Like, that one was actually good, and that was a good one.
I think that's my favorite encounter set. It might be between that and Infinites.
Okay.
I mean, because I don't like the Celestial Tech. Oof, those are rough. But yeah, I like the Kalanakaba. It's got some fun interactions, which is cool.
Alright, we kind of skipped over them a little bit, but one of the missions, you have the ability to get a campaign ally. What'd you think about those?
I thought they were interesting, but I think they're priced very high. So...
But Ryan, you can reduce their cost by two, and you can send them to the mission.
Yeah, didn't want that. it's weird. The cost is really high. But generally, when you think about cost, you're like, what's the thwart and the attack that I'm getting out of based off the health? And then what ability am I getting? But their ability is something that you get automatically. You don't even have to pay to get their ability. So kind of like, I don't think four is the right cost. I think they need to be three.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever play. I chose Destiny because I was the Thwarter. And I don't think I ever played
her. I don't think you did either.
In the mission you did or.
Discard her a whole bunch.
I did discard it. That's true right there. Well, it's because I was taking so much damage.
It's true. Well, you're the one that was like, hey, I got this person to spare over here. You know, I got like 17 Tufts. You're like, no, I want to take it.
I want to take the damage. I'm Bishop. That's true. And then, like, all right, here we go. And then I get no resources and discard all the cards I wanted.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, like, well, that was productive. Way to go, Ryan.
Yep. Oh, there's my uniform I just discarded. Great. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, the one card I need. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think to actually, like, play them, I think four is too high. I never wanted to play them. Who'd you choose?
I went with Blink because trying to manipulate magic's nice in the to pair with their responses, and that one felt like the one I could maximize a whole bunch. I almost went with X-Man, but because I had so many allies that I could make that come out with toughness, it didn't make sense to give myself a tough. And then confusing the villain, I could kind of already do that. And some of the scenarios, that's pretty much worthless. So I felt like the two damage that was a non-attack damage was kind of beneficial.
Yeah.
So
I would agree.
Yep.
All right. What else about the campaign? Anything else, or do we need to move on to final thoughts?
Word to the wise, when you do complete the mission and you flip the mission team card over, remember that you can use that to draw a card.
I think we missed that once.
Yeah, we did like once or twice. Like, oh yeah, we can use that now.
We have a draw card. Why are we using this? That's right.
Oops. So.
Yeah. I think that was a nice reward for doing it. So,
yeah, that's true. It kind of turned into like a little mini Milano.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mini Milano.
That's a resource, so not a card draw. So, but yeah,
that ends up being similar.
Something you can kind of benefit the whole team. Yeah,
yeah,
I would agree. All right, anything else? I'm just kind of looking over some stuff here.
Campaign wise, I don't think so. I just wasn't as happy with how it turned out compared to the other two. So
I guess this is technically like campaign because it's, you know, from going from A to Z, from villain one to villain five. You know, the big thing I think leading up to this one was, or when it was revealed, was, there's two apocalypses.
Oh, no.
You don't have to go into detail because we're going to get into details later, but do you think that was a hit, or do you think that it didn't really work having two of the same villains in the box? Okay.
I see what you're saying. Let's see, kind of going back, we've had Collector 1 and Collector 2. I enjoy Collector 2. Collector 1, I don't hate, but I can see how that can be frustrating for people. So I actually don't mind Collector. Do we have another double? I guess Green Goblin is technically two of the same.
I think the other like big comparison you get is like, is is Apocalypse Scenario 3 the big bad of the box, as compared to like villain five Apocalypse?
Oh, kind of like a Thanos Loki. Kind of
they made it like Thanos Loki, right? Like you're thinking you're facing the big bad halfway through. Do you think he was big bad enough in the middle?
I think both of the scenarios are different enough. That it doesn't harm that there's two Apocalypse. I think there's one that's better than the other, but I think both of them played well. So I think as someone that likes Apocalypse, I like being able to have two of them and they play different. So I think that, I think ultimately it was a good move by them to just, hey, people love Apocalypse. Let's throw two of them and do two different versions of them. Okay,
more cowbell. Yeah, more cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell.
No, I agree. I think they're both two fantastic, you know, scenarios.
Yeah.
Little tease there. And I have a really big hot take when we get into the villains. So that's just like a...
I'm excited for that.
You got to keep listening to get my really big hot take. So
yeah, out of going through the whole campaign, one villain after the other, I think these two were the ones that stood out during the campaign for me.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah,
I guess the last one, because if you don't do the campaign aspect of the mission, you lose.
You lose. Spoiler. Or if you don't play security guard, you lose too.
Security guard.
Orderly? Well, that's spoiler, spoiler. This is your spoiler warning. Whoop. You know, if you don't complete the last mission, you lose.
Yes.
Do that.
Yes, you have to do it. So yeah, I think it was I'm not saying it's the worst campaign. I think there's some that don't handle as strong as this one, but it for me it is the weaker of the three X-Men.
Okay, so that's our measuring stick, is the X-Men trilogy of boxes.
Yeah, I think
from a campaign perspective, this is kind of that bottom one for you.
Yeah, I think
that's fine.
I'm trying to. What were the?
I mean,
the
everybody big, can be wrong, right?
What was the big rewards for Next Evolution? Now all of a sudden I can't remember. Side schemes, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you got side schemes, and they did things. Those you got like pouches, and you got a couple of different things. So there was pretty good stuff.
I think I liked the customize ability of the Mutagenesis. But I think the overall how it worked out was probably better in Next Evolution. But I think in this one it drew away too much from the core of the game, which is fighting villains. So that's why it's the weakest for me. But I still enjoyed the campaign. I still think it's a win. I still think it's probably a campaign that people should go get.
Yeah, I would agree. You made me think about Mutagenesis. Some of those campaigns cards I felt were a little lacking, like the one-time use cards. I felt like the benefits of the aspect manipulation was way better and higher value than the card you got is your like one single use one. Some of them got me out of a pickle a time or two, but there was some of the games I was like, oh yeah, I had this card, I could have used it, but it wouldn't have made any difference. So what was the other thing you just said? You made me think of something. Oh, the box as a whole. I would agree. I think it's a good buy. I was talking to a dude in the game store, and really
the dude,
you know, if you're listening, you know who you are. You really could get into the game with just this box. You technically don't need a core box for this outside of tokens and dials and
such. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because you could use standard 3 as your standard encounter set. So, this is a very unique box in that aspect. So, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think we're going to hold off on talking about standard 3.
That'll be its own.
Episode. we'll talk about it more later, because I think we need to play it a few more times and see how it works. My early thoughts are, it was pretty good. I just
okay, well, that's all we need right now. We'll go in depth. Just tease him like that. It was good. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
it was a standard experience.
It was standard 3.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool.
Yeah. All right. I don't know where to end this one. You missioned me out, man.
Uh-oh. Well, how about this? The mighty folks that are listening to this, let us know what you think of the missions, because we seem to, maybe we're the minority, maybe we're the majority. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let us know, because I'm very curious if the missions are a hit or not. I can't remember what Facebook has been saying.
Yeah, I was just thinking that same thing. I was like, I really haven't seen a lot of chatter about the campaign as a whole. So I don't know. Maybe everybody's just playing Standard 3 or the scenarios standalone and haven't experienced it. I guess, yeah, let us know. Are we just completely off, or, you know, are we just trendsetters? I don't know.
Yeah, let us know. We're probably trendsetters, let's be honest.
And Ryan, how can people let us know?
I think they can do some emailing to our email, as they say, at oh man, I always forget it.
I do that just to hear you struggle.
I know. You always, you're killing me, man. You're killing me, Smalls.
All right.
Hold on.
Okay.
I got us. It is at the Marvel Champions Pod at gmail.com. Am I right?
That is true. Just no the at the front, but you got it.
That's Marvel correct. Champions there's no the. Marvel Chumps.
MarvelChampionsPod@gmail.com. You got
it. That's right. I got it.
Awesome. And remember, as always, if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
Go do some missions.
That's right. Missions. Woo!
Yeah!